And I just wanted to share with you a few passages from Scripture. Daring faith really is a leap of faith that takes you way, way beyond what you can do naturally. It takes you way out beyond your comfort zone. It's expecting God to do something that's utterly impossible. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. It's a story where Peter walks on the water. So beginning with verse 22 of Matthew 14, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from this land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You know, as we look at this story, often we're pretty hard on Peter. But Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Where were the other disciples? Sitting where it was comfortable, doing nothing. No sign of faith, no action there. So as I look at this, I look at Peter and I think, wow, here's a man of faith. He did something crazy. So the first thing he says is, "If it is you." Where was his faith? "If it is you, tell me to come." Okay, that's his faith in something much, much bigger than himself. Faith in God himself. So faith is always active, is another thing. It doesn't sit and twiddle its thumbs and say, "Well, God didn't do anything," or "Does God do something?" Nope, this faith was proactive. Peter had to get out of the boat, one foot at a time, over the edge, get on the water. That's what he did. Faith is very active. It gets involved. It takes the risk. I find it interesting here, though, that it was Peter's idea to walk on the water. It was not Jesus's. If you look at the passage there, if you look at it, he said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come." I think that thrilled God's heart. I really think it did. Thrilled him because here's Peter said, "Hey, if it's you, I want to try this. I want to get out there. I want to come to you." The other disciples in the boat were still thinking ghost. Peter said, "If it's you." See the difference? Huge difference there. So Peter got out. I find it interesting, too, that men of faith, as I look at the scripture, is that it's often a step into something really utterly impossible, and often God makes it even worse because he wants you to know this is a God thing. You can take no credit for this. Think about it. Why didn't Jesus say, "Hey, Peter, you know, it's out in the middle of the night. We're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the waves are high, and it's, how about if we wait till Tuesday next week, the weather's going to be nice, and we'll do it by the shore where it's shallow, and when the water's nice and calm, and it's dark, you can't see anything." You see how hard this is? This is utterly impossible for Peter. But you know what? God doesn't, he likes to take us into the impossible. He likes to challenge us in what we're going to step out and trust him with. And so we see that consistently in the men of faith. So Peter got out and he walked on the water. Another thing that we find is when you step out by faith, daring faith, usually you're alone. You're by yourself. Not very many people want to do that. Most of us would rather sit in the pew or sit in the boat and not be active and not really get out there and trust God with something bigger than myself, bigger than me. So that's a challenge I want to leave with you today. Are you like Peter, or are you like the disciples sitting in the boat? Can you and will you trust God for some big things? Things that will take you, guess what, to where you're scared spitless. That's just what we see in the as men of God stepped out by faith. We find that fear was part of it. You think you're going to do it and not fail? No, you're probably going to sink and get wet too. It's just what we're made of as humans. So fear is part of it. Well, you have little faith. When Peter got out there, God told him that. But I think it's kind of a neat story. He walks out, gets to the Lord Jesus, and then begins to sink. And he cries out to who? To the Lord. He takes his arm, put it around, lifts Peter up, and those two walk back to the boat. I don't know if the other disciples heard what the dialogue was with all the wind and the waves. I doubt they did, that little rebuke to Peter. But you know what? That's a sweet picture. Seeing our own human weakness and seeing God walk back to the boat with us, he'll do that. We see that throughout the Old Testament, even in different players there. I think of Gideon there in Judges. Think of that story, all right? Here's a man who, when God asked him to come, he said, well, hey, I'm from the least tribe of, I'm the weakest clan in Manasseh and the least in my father's house. There's a man in weakness. You remember his fear of trusting God? He had to have the fleece, put that out there. And God takes him through that, and yet what does he do? In light of all that impossibility, his own fears, he gets out of the boat and walks. He obeys God and goes. Remember, he brings together an army, gets 10,000 there, ready to go and fight the Midianites, totally outnumbered with 10,000 men. God says, it's not, we're going to make it worser for you. We're going to make this very, very obvious that this is a God thing. It's not you. God does not want you to have glory in your faith. It's going to all be about him. And so that's what happened to Gideon. You remember Gideon also was very afraid when he actually got down to 300 men. See, God really put him in a hard spot, really a hard spot. But then if you remember the story, Gideon was afraid, and Jesus, and the Lord said to him, but in Judges, God says to him, but if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So then he went down with Pura, his servant, to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like a locust in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that was on the seashore in abundance. So he goes down and he listens to this dream. If you remember the story, the dream is about him. That dream tells the story that Gideon is going to come and destroy us all. That's what he hears. You know, he's encouraged. So it's neat that the Lord reaches into our heart, our trembling hearts at times, when we're willing to take a step of faith that's way beyond us, way beyond us. Gideon did that. He trusted God with something that was utterly impossible and saw God do the impossible. You know, we can see the fear in these men. They're human, just like you and I. I think of Elijah. Remember when he went and he took a huge leap of faith, called down fire from heaven to burn up the altar there. And what did he do? Make it hard. He poured water three times all over that altar to make it sure that everybody would know this was a God thing, not him. But guess what happened? After he did all of that, trusted God with something really impossible, sounded like an awesome man of faith, then Jezebel steps in. And what does Elijah do? Jezebel threatens him that she's going to get even, and he is terrified. He runs and to the backside of the, runs away out in the wilderness, and lives in fear there, sits there trembling. But you know what? God reaches out to him, sends an angel, cooks a fire, cooks him some meal, takes care of him. So if Elijah is going to step out by faith, and yet he's going to struggle with fear, guess what? You and I are going to have the same struggles. It's okay. That's just part of who we are, but God always picks us up. So I love the stories. You can go on and you can look at Moses, you know, a man who said, hey, I'm just trembling lips. I can't do this. It's impossible. And yet God used Moses all the way through to lead 2 million Israelites to Canaan. And so I think of that. Where does God want me to stand? Where does God want you? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to trust him with something impossible? Are you willing to, it's not your abilities he's going to be leaning on anyways. He wants to use you in his work, whether that's here at the church, whatever it might be. I don't know. That's not my place to determine, but I want to leave you with that challenge that God calls us to the impossible. You know what? And that's been our experience in Ethnos 360 Aviation. We have trusted God for huge things, scary things, things way beyond my ability. And I've taken on the role to be the CEO. First thing we did was to put 3 Kodiaks into Papua New Guinea. That was a big step of faith. We sent the pilot over there first, no airplanes. We do things backwards when you walk by faith, you know. So it just was, and I sat down with my director of operations and says, are we crazy or what? That thought went through our minds. And it was just neat to see God provide 3 of them. Boom, just one right after another. Same donor. Donor gave us 3 of them. $6 million worth. Is that a leap of faith? Huge. You know, the same thing happened in the Philippines. We didn't ask God for a helicopter for the Philippines. We had one there. We needed the second one. We told our donors, guys, we cannot, there's no point in putting a helicopter there if all of our Filipino missionaries cannot afford to fly it. So we took all of our funds, put it aside, and said we want to subsidize our flying so that even the Filipinos, the Brazilians, the tribal people can afford to fly. We want to meet them. We want ministry to be first, not budget. And God answered that prayer. Huge, huge answer. So we have about 10 years of funding ahead of us on that to be faithful and follow through with that. So God's done that, done big things. So it's been a scary ride for me, for us as an aviation team, to trust God for that. And we have our next big leap of faith is a helicopter for Brazil. Again, we do things backwards. We send our pilot down to Brazil. He's already arrived in Brazil. He's down there ready to fly. No helicopter. We have just enough funds now to build a hangar and get started. No helicopter. So we are just trusting God that by January, God will provide the machine. What we'd like to do is to leave you with that request, is to ask you to pray with us. We've taken a leap into the impossible, and we would like you to stand with us on it and pray that God would provide that. The missionaries there in Brazil desperately need our help, and we want to do that. That's beyond our reach as well. So I'd like to just play a video right here at the end, if you can. This is a bit about this huge leap of faith that we're in. So if you want to go ahead and play that, this is about the helicopter for Brazil.
Train.